For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 9th, 1999. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
Where'd Debbie go? Okay. I need somebody to operate this overhead projector for me in a minute. Okay. Hallelujah. I got so much here this morning, I don't know where to start. First thing we want to do is pray. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, now I'm off again. I'm on. Okay. Glory. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity. A privilege, Lord, and an honor. Oh, glory to Jesus. Father God, in Jesus' name, I surrender myself totally and unreservedly and completely to you. By faith, I step out of the way, and I say, Holy Spirit, minister through this vessel. Let your words come forth with anointing, power, and we'll just love you and praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
So be it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. First things first. Bits and pieces at a time, I guess. All right, now we got it. Upside down.
You can't read like that?
Not today. Now, put it over some. First column. There you go. Now, can everybody see that? Can you read it? How evil spirits deceive. You can read them. Give you a minute or so. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Number one here, by first obtaining consent of the will. All right. By counterfeiting the presence of God as an influence. By counterfeiting the person of God within. By suggestions to the mind. By false guidance. By counterfeits of divine things or human things or satanic things, angelic things. By teachings of demons, by supernatural visions and voices, by pushing to extremes, etc., etc. Their first object is to deceive so as to gain, number one, communication. Number two, entrance to. And number three, first one there. And number three, confidence of the believer that all their workings are of God. Okay? We're not up against some little namby-pamby, just started yesterday, individual, power, principality, whatever. All right, number two. Down just a little bit. The ground given for deception, thoughts admitted to the mind, passivity of the whole being in various parts or stages, faculties unused, lack of mental control, lack of reasoning, lack of use of the will, giving up power of decision, ceasing to use the judgment, actions as the result of these various things, the actions giving more ground. All right, number three. Where they enter. They bury themselves in the very structure of the human frame and enter mind or nervous system specially. All right, go on to the next one. Symptoms of the presence of evil spirits in a man or a woman. Or a child. Let's just say human being. Attitude of infallibility. Antagonism to truth about evil spirits. Restlessness. Inability to reason or to listen to others' words. Flashes of memory. Loss of memory. Suspicious spirit. Abnormal talkativeness or reserve. The body in time becomes open to the evil spirit's use of eyes, head, vocal organs, tongue, jaws, muscles, hand, feet, manifested in uncontrollable movements. And it says down at the bottom in all of these, it tells you what chapter to look for, and I'll tell you the book that's in a minute. All right? On over another. Okay, that's the excuses used by evil spirits to cover ground, okay? Now, I mean, it's going to take a little time for some of this to penetrate. The excuses used by evil spirits to cover ground. It is divine. It is sin, disease, physical, natural, temperament, heredity, brain fag, fatigue, imagination, spiritual, or a vision from God or revelation. Man. All right? The last one, down just a little bit. Come on over some, Crystal, down some now. Oh, okay. The excuses mean blaming self or someone else for what the evil spirits are doing. Okay? Now, the effects in and through the believer. Believer, okay? General weakness, mental and bodily lethargy, nerve irritation shown in impatient restlessness, unteachableness, positiveness, loss of decisive power of choice, spirit of division, prejudices without reason, marred judgment, exaggerated view of self, painful or pleasing, lack of moral vision and judicial balance, unholy laughter, excessive disposition to weep, depression and oppression, and so on. Now, that's one chart taken out of the book War on the Saints. And any time in the last several years that I've been here, I've never failed to mention War on the Saints, and I want to mention it again. That's all, Crystal. If there's ever a book that exposes the works of the devil and teaches you how to discern deceiving spirits, it's War on the Saints. And I really exhort every Christian, if he's going to be a Christian, if he's going to be tuned into God, to buy that book and become more knowledgeable about the works of the devil in deceiving you and anybody else. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Can you say amen? Amen. He is a sly, crafty, cunning deceiver from the word go. Is it any wonder that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that the devil comes like an angel of light, and his ministers, did you know Satan has ministers? They are demons. And they come as ministers of righteousness, so-called. That's a sobering thought. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, Jesus said. Hallelujah. All right, now. Yes, sir. Yes.
Isn't a bridge edition put out?
This is a copy. This is a copy of the unabridged edition of War on the Saints. There's an abridged edition put out. The people who own the manuscript have abridged it, and they remove any reference to a spirit-filled believer having a demon. It's owned by a Baptist group in England. This was, to find this, a missionary went down and found an original copy of the original manuscript that was published in 1905 or 1906 by Jesse Penn Lewis, had gone out of copyright, and got it and reprinted it. It's very hard to find these. You can't find them in every store. You can find the abridged a lot of places, but this is the one you want to read. You don't want to read the abridged edition. It's an abomination.
In the back of that book, there's, I forget how many there are, but there's two columns. One is the true workings of God, and the other is the counterfeit workings of the devil. I told you I was excited about all this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to try to get in a whole lot here if I possibly can. If I can't, well, then we'll just have to say continued. Praise the Lord. But as I said now, in the back of that book, there's the true workings of God, the counterfeit workings of the devil, side by side. And there's quite a number of them. 20 pages, Doc said. And at one time, quite a number of years ago, about 20 years ago, I guess, I had somebody type those up for me, and then we made just about 100 copies, and I scattered them all over Missouri and Florida and Georgia and I don't know where else. But it's time we, as Christians, began to walk in a greater measure of victory than we've ever walked in before.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tommy Cook asked me one day there at the first of the week, says, George, what do you think God's saying? And I said exactly what the Holy Spirit brought to mind. Grow up! Grow up! It's time we stop being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, wishy-washy this way, wishy-washy that way, which simply means it's time we stop listening to what this thing says and listen to what this says. And it's time we stop saying what this thing says and say what God says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you say what your head says and it in any way disagrees with the word of the Lord, then you are siding with the devil. Plain and simple. When you say what God says, you're siding with him. That means that when you say what God says, you are agreeing with him, and God's a person, and you're a person, that makes two. And the Word says, if two of you agree on earth as to touching anything that you ask of the Father, it will be done. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. I suppose the best title that I could give this message this morning would be Doers of the Word. James chapter 1, verse 22. That's a key verse. I'm going to read from verse 19. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, that is, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. You want to write this down while I think about it? The Word, W-O-R-D, okay? With order, rightly divided. Verse 22. But obey the message. Be doers of the word and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own image or natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully, prayerfully, meditatively in the faultless law, the law of liberty, the word of God, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. God has left absolutely nothing out of his word that is needful for us to walk in victory. And you've heard me say the other morning, victory, the acrostic for victory. No, that's not the one. Love. Living on victory eternally. Living on victory eternally. L-O-V-E. I like that. I'll take a whole bunch of that. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to chapter 4. Where do I want to start here? Glory to God. Let's start with verse 5. 4, verse 5. Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us? Did you know the Spirit of God is yearning over you and I? And he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. With a jealous love. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency in all others fully, That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. And I know that you're wondering, well, receive what? Well, go back and read all the rest of the book of James. Start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and go on down until you get to James and through Revelation, and you'll find it out. Hallelujah. Verse 8, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Someone said, I don't know if it's in the Word or what, but anyway, it's pretty good. It says you take one step toward God, he'll take two towards you. If you're not as close to God as you once were, guess who moved? Certainly wasn't God, because God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I don't change. And it also says over 50 times in the Word of God that God is no respecter of persons, so what he does for one, he'll do for everybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in order to get the things that God has for us, we must learn how to be more obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What do I mean by that? Oh, glory. I'll tell you, When it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, right, Emma, when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, there is not at this time on this side of the cross, okay? Hear me now. There's not a sick person in this world. There is not a person in a mental institution, a jail, a juvenile shelter, or anything else. There's supposed to be nothing wrong with humanity. Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus went to the cross not for a select few, but for every person on the face of the earth. Even before he went to the cross, he went to the cross for those before him. Hallelujah. And it's only because of our rebellion, defiance, stubbornness, willful disobedience, ignorance, unbelief, and all the other stuff that we have the problems that we have today in whatever way. God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has said in his word, I would that you be made perfect. I would that you be made mature. Spirit, soul, and body. I can find only two reasons why human beings have troubles. Two, and that's all. One is ignorance of the devil's devices, and the other is rejection of the truth when you hear it. One or the other. Hallelujah. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interest. Divided interest. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. I'm pretty steadfast, oh yeah? How much television did you watch last week? How much other time did you wastefully allow your mind to be used with flittering here and flittering there and so on? How many seconds did you have when you went through the line? Or how much food do you eat that your body don't need? As I said the other day, you walk on the bottom of your feet, don't mind if I walk on the top of them a little bit. Hallelujah. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And bless God, at 75, I'm getting a little freer every day. Glory to Jesus. I tell you what, it took me up until I was 40, I think at 42 years old, to finally come to the realization that I was being made a fool of by the devil. And I've had some unique experience with God and with the devil. Jesus came, stood at the foot of my bed years ago, and I had to go back in the hospital with my back all screwed up, 12 and a half pounds on each foot, and my shoulder strapped to the head of the bed. And that first night, Jesus came, stood at the foot of my bed, just like a light, just in a soft glow of light. But when he spoke, I knew I had come face to face with his majesty. All the hair on my arms stood up and on the back of my neck and, man, all kind of other stuff. And he said, now I've got you where I want you. Will you listen? I didn't realize I'd been running so hard from him. He didn't wait for an answer. He said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Well, as I began to do that, a little later on, the devil came one day when I was sitting in my den studying and come right there by my chair and I could smell him. He smelled like burning sulfur. He said, "You're talking too much. I'm going to kill you." Well, that's been over 30 years ago and I'm still here. Proves he's a liar, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Where did I stop off here? I'm going to read verse 8 again. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, waving individuals with divided interest, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Time is a borrowed trust from eternity. Once it's gone, it's gone. You cannot go back 1 hour and live it over again. Therefore, the admonition, the exhortation in the word is to say, it tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And on we could go in that particular vein of thinking. Verse 10 says, verse 9, as you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. 22 years ago, this 7th of November, God blessed Mildred and I by putting us together. And what a treasure God has given me in this precious creation of His. And I would die before I would be disloyal to her in any way whatsoever. I love her with all of this natural being. And she comes second to God only. God's first. I love Him with all of my being, spirit, soul, and body. And I can love her as I love myself in Jesus, because we are joined together just like we're joined to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy tries to slip in every once in a while, and he'll do his utmost through some little quirk of something or other to try to get some access to our minds. But thank God that I've just about totally conquered that devil, and I can put a stop to it right away. But why? Because I have forced myself, okay? I did it by the power of God to really come to the realization I do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's no human being that's my enemy. I don't care what they say, what they do, the person is not my enemy. They're just being used if they are offensive, if they're doing something that is contrary to God's commands and His word, then that simply means they, at that particular time, are obeying the devil. They just need some more renewing of the mind. That's the reason Paul says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is the battleground, folks. You conquer your mind through the Word of God, and you've conquered the devil. He don't have any other place to work. He don't come up and say, hey, I'm going to grab your hand and twist it, now do what I say. No, he don't do that. It's right here. You conquer this thing, bring it into submission to the Word of God through obedience, and you've conquered the devil. But until you do, whatever little tiny avenue the enemy can slip in there with, he will cause you to have problems of some kind. My, getting awfully quiet in here. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Don't wait for God to do it. If you wait for Him to do it, it won't be easy. Again, God's word is absolute. Can you say amen? And while I'm on that subject now, let me just say this. You need to be careful of what translation you get into. There's a lot of different translations that are totally off base. And they've been translated, quote unquote, by people who don't even know God. And the NIV is one of them. If you got one of them, burn it. Well, Brother George, you're getting awfully rough. You better believe it. Time some of us got rough. Humble yourselves. In the book of Hebrews, it says this. I think it's either chapter 6 or 10. I don't remember which, right offhand. But it says, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then turn away, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of indignation and wrath that will devour the adversary. You can't Okay, God, yes, I hear you, God. Yeah, I know that's what the Word of God says. Okay, God, I'll obey it. Well, now, wait a minute. I think I'll go this way for a while. Oh, God, I'm going the wrong way. Oh, God, your Word says if I confess my sins, you're just and you know, you'll forgive me. God says, hey, I forgive you 2,000 years ago on the cross. You knew better. You walked down that path. I'm not going to pick you up by the hair of the head and set you back over there on the right path. Now you work your salvation out with fear and trembling. In other words, repent. Turn around. Go back down that thing. And all the time you're going down that path, the devil's pounding away at you, and you have got to come to that place where you can stand, and having done all to stand and walk with God and say, no, devil, you cannot control me anymore. Amen. You've got to do it. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is, if you obey. Obedience. Oh, Lord of mercy, I've been too many times disobedient to God, and I've had to suffer the consequences. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. And He will exalt you. And He will exalt you. Well, now, Brother John, let me tell you, you know, I'm a prophet of God, and you know, I've been here and there, and I understand you got a church now, Brother John. You must invite me over to your church. You know, I'm nuts. If Brother John was to say, oh, brother, you are? Well, come on, man. And then he's a fool. The Bible says, let another speak for you and not yourself. You know what the biggest need in the church universal is today? And I would say, as far as the church in the United States is concerned in particular, and that is for the church to get off of its stuff and start learning how the Word of God says to be discerners. The gift of discernment. Well, you can't know the gift of discernment unless you make yourself aware of the tactics of the enemy, and thank God for that book, War on the Saints. Glory. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you, He will lift you up and make your life significant. Oh, glory to God. How can we measure our spiritual growth? Do we need to grow? At what stage of development are we? Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. I've been a Christian for X number of years, you know. And after all, I've read the Bible through and through, from cover to cover. And what did I say the other day? Some of them you have to part the whiskers or stick the little bottle in. We'll find out just where we're at. Okay, listen to this. We are growing when we are increasingly aware of our sinfulness and weaknesses. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it talks about the naturalness of the man and the spiritualness. And it says, who can know the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, how much of the mind of Christ do we have? Well, Brother George, I memorized Psalm 23. Well, that's how much of the mind of Christ you got. In other words, of the, let's say, of the little over, perhaps over 10 billion cells that make up your brain, two of them might know something. And then when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, according to the medical profession and the scientific field, there's not one of us in this room that's used over 5% of our mental capability. That says 95% is still dormant. Why? Because we have a personal enemy who is out to destroy us in whatever way he can before we can become like Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, what I've done, you will do? Well, if we do what he did, that makes us like him, right? And he said, I only do the will of the Father. And he also said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, or mature. Grow up! Glory to God. We are increasingly aware of our sinfulness and weaknesses. Well, now, you know, after all, I'm pretty strong in the Lord myself. I've been a Christian for X number of years and this, that, and the other. And I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do something else. Well, right there, you got a problem with all those eyes. You're full of pride. All right, number two, our response to sin is quick and followed by genuine repentance. We are growing when our response to sin is quick and followed by genuine repentance. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Well, that don't mean nothing. Words are cheap. But when it comes right down to you being sorry enough to quit, and you just don't do what you did anymore, that's repentance. Number three, we are growing when our spiritual battles become more fierce, and yet we still rejoice. Greater the battle, greater the victory. No battles, no victories. Now, what are we supposed to do in the in the battles? Well, now, Sister Gwen, I tell you what, boy, yesterday was such a tough day. Oh, man, the devil just battered me all over the place. The devil just gave me such a hard time. You know, that old devil, he's just this and that. You know what we're doing? We're glorifying the devil. And all the time we're talking about that rat, he's just saying, oh, come on, come on, do it some more. Do it some more. Oh, I like that. Come on, let me have your full attention. Keep your mind on me. Is that what the Word of God says to do? Isaiah 26:3, God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed on me, not the devil. I tell you what, we can become so devil conscious until we miss the blessings of God. Hallelujah. We are growing when we see trials and temptations as opportunities for growth. And we say, what are you trying to teach me, God? What kept the Israelites out of the land of promise? I didn't hear you. Okay. Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, fault-finding, the whole ball of wax. Isn't that what's going on today? And we are being kept out of the promised land? My God says, I have an inheritance. I'm not going to wait till this physical body dies to get it either. My Bible says that God's kingdom is here now. And I have read where I can get out of the control of the evil one and into God's kingdom. Glory. That's the reason I can stay full of the joy of the Lord. That's the reason that I can stay happy. That's the reason that my head is constantly going with little choruses and songs, praise and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe His word. He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed on me. I was telling someone this morning that if we could come to a place of forgetting any and everything else and just go ahead and worship God and get more and more into that worship and praise and worship and praise of God. Do you know that the presence of God would gradually center and come down? And it was doing that the other night. I tell you, I've never felt a stronger anointing of God as was in this place since I've been coming here. If we could just keep that up, and keep it up, any and every problem that would be here would leave. Now, that's God's promise. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. And where the presence of God is, what's there? Liberty, freedom, peace. A little fellowship over in South Chard, England, 50 or 60 people going there, a lot of them with physical problems, spiritual problems. And the Lord anointed the praise leader one night, and they started singing a praise and worship song, and they just didn't quit. It just kept going 40, 50 times. We sang two or three times, and we think we've done something great. They just kept going, and they ushered in the presence of God, and everything there that night, every physical ailment or anything else, all of it was healed. Just through praise and worship. Turn with me to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Oh, glory. Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Glory. Lord, don't make it too strong. I'll just go ahead and go through the roof or out the door or somewhere. Psalm 50, Let's read verses 22 and 23. The Amplified says, "Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. And he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God." Praise. Praise. I went from Jacksonville to Pensacola one time to be a speaker at a little conference, and the Lord told me to buy a one-way bus ticket. I didn't drive out there. I just obeyed the Lord, buy a one-way bus ticket. The last night of the conference, I got up and I said, "Is anybody going toward Jacksonville? I need a ride." And God had this thing all ordained beforehand. And this wife and two girls were headed for Jacksonville. And I rode with them, and wife and two girls sat in the back, and Jean and I sat in the front. Gene Andrews, he's been here. And as we got going on the highway, I've always, as a kid, they had a little song booklet that come out, I forget the name of the thing, but every month it come out with all the popular songs of that particular time. And I tried, it was only a dime, and I always tried to sell Fiddlers or head some shrimp or do something to get a little change down in Mayport. And I always bought me a copy of that little song sheet. And I knew hundreds of those songs. Well, when I got saved, God just kept that kind of a memory going. And when the anointing comes for being a praiser and worshiper unto God, as sometimes when we're driving down the road, they'll just start bubbling up. And then just a well of those things down deep inside, it takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost, start bringing them out. God loves to hear praise and worship. And we will just sing and sing. And on the way from Pensacola to Jacksonville, we started singing. And I kept singing songs that Gene had never heard. And the presence and the power of God got so strong in that car, it felt just like we were just kind of floating, you know, floating along. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Number five, we are growing when we view service for Him as a high honor and not as a burden. When we view service for Him, I was given a Bible a couple of years ago, and they asked me, "What do you want on the front of it?" I said, "I want my name on there, and underneath that, servant of God." And shortly after, the Lord convicted me and said, "Hey, I thought you was my friend." He said, "A servant doesn't know what his master does. If you want me to reveal to you what I want done and you know, how things are going, then don't be a servant. Be a friend." I said, "Okay, Lord, fine. I'm, you know." So I'm not a servant anymore. I'm a friend. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, sticks closer to me than a brother. Glory to God. Isn't that something to get excited about? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the reason that I love that little course I learned some years ago. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. If we view service for Him as a high honor and not as a burden. We are growing when, number six. Now, I pray that God will just burn this into every one of us. We view everything as coming from God. Everything. Sure has got quiet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what are we to do with everything? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. I went out there and there was two tires flat on my car. You mean I'm supposed to give thanks? Absolutely. If it hadn't been flat, you might have got an end, drove down the street, and run right in front of somebody that had clobbered you. That's quite a little story right there in itself. I took it to two different places. I'm just trying to bargain. You know, I'm trying to be a good steward of everything that God gives to us. One place gave me an estimate, you know, of how much tires it costs. And another place said, well, we'll have to put it up on the rack and check it out. And I said, okay. Now, these were two tires on the back. I didn't say anything about the front. The two tires on the front's new. So they put it up on the rack. And the first thing the guy did, come over and grabbed the right front wheel and shook it. And he said, wobble, wobble, wobble. He said, that's about totally gone. I would fix it if I were you quickly. It's amazing sometimes how God will do things just, you know. If God be for us, that wasn't very loud.
Who can be against us?
I think y'all heard John. Let me say that again. If God be for us,
who can be against us?
All right. See there? We view everything as coming from God. When you remember what Job, the book of Job, did the devil do anything unless first he got God's permission? Remember what I said earlier? Two reasons why we have problems, rejection or ignorance. We're on this side of the cross. We're not living back over there where Job was. God has given to us power on this side of the cross. And we as spirit-baptized Christians, we are to learn and not be ignorant. Isn't that right? So then, it's up to us not to allow, as God didn't allow the devil to do anything except by his permission, then we are not to allow the devil to have charge of our lives in any area or any way whatsoever. Jesus didn't say, I give to you power over all the power of the devil for you to just say, okay, Lord, I thank you for that and go on and do our own thing and whatever. And then when the devil begins to raise his ugly head, you know, We go here, there, and everywhere and try everything but what God said to try, and that's simply to use the name of Jesus, which is above every name.
Amen.
Every name. Oh, Brother George, I got such a headache. Give me two aspirins. In other words, two aspirins are bigger than the name of Jesus. It would be amazing if we really, really dug into ourselves and really the Word of God and found out really how much idolatry we're in. False gods. Well, after all, you know, we're growing, we're children, we're growing, we're learning little by little. Hallelujah. I'm teaching me just like I'm teaching y'all, or the Holy Ghost is teaching all of us, I should say. I still take medication for high blood pressure. But little by little, it's getting less. Why? Because I'm also have been taking garlic and parsley tablets for quite some time, and they are a natural blood pressure lower. God's left nothing out, nothing whatsoever. If we knew how to use the stuff that's in the world, you know, the herbs and everything else. Hallelujah. All right, we are growing when, number seven, we sense our faith is growing stronger when it takes more and more to unsettle us. I told somebody this morning, through discipline, 99% of the time, I'll just, you know, whatever comes up, I'll just say, oh, well, praise the Lord anyway. Well, I don't like you, Brother George. Oh, well, praise the Lord anyway. I didn't like what you said. Praise the Lord anyway. Why? Because I don't wrestle against it. You know, one of the biggest thing the devil hates is to be ignored. Boy, he walks around like a roaring lion. That's what the word says, doesn't it? But a lion doesn't roar until after it's got its prey. Lion ain't going to come roaring. Okay, deer, here I come. All right, round. You know, he doesn't do that. He sneaks up on you. That's the way the enemy does to us. And we must become aware of what's going on. How powerful is the blood of Jesus? Thank you, Brother Gene. All powerful. Very quickly, that crown of thorns that was placed on the head of Jesus was so that my mind could be free and protected from the lies of the devil. Those hands that were nailed to that cross was so that my hands could be free never to rise against anybody in retaliation, but always to enfold someone with love. To reach out a helping hand. To say, hey, can I help you do that? My feet were nailed to that cross so that I would never, ever have to run from anything in fear, but always to go toward something in view of trying to help. Hallelujah. And that sword that was driven into his side, and the blood and the water came out. The blood representing the Holy Ghost. And when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get an invisible transfusion or impregnation of the blood of Jesus Christ. The life is in the blood, and that Holy Ghost anointing is the invisible sperm of God coming into you, the spirit, the egg, the ovum, so that you can start becoming a new creation growing within the inside. Hallelujah. The water that came out represents the Word. We're washed by the water of the Word. We're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. You'll never get any cleaner than whatever, how much of this Word as a detergent you want to put within your life. Put it in there and let the Holy Ghost swirl it around and get the junk and the garbage out. Hallelujah. We are growing when we sense our faith is growing stronger, when it takes more and more to unsettle us, when we are living by God's schedule. God's Spirit is moving in the earth, drawing people out of darkness unto Himself. And the enemy is working, and he's keeping people in bondage by using the mind. You need this, you need to go here, you need to do that, and blah, 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 blah. And all the time, God's waiting. And the enemy's got a big perimeter thrown up there in front of you with all kind, just like these billboards that line the highway sometimes, keeping you occupied with all kinds of lying, deceiving thoughts within the structure of your mind, so that you can't stop thinking about something. Even when you go to bed, it's, you know, television and so on, and you can't hear God. And sometimes God has to allow things to get so bad. I said He has to allow it. He don't do it. And just like me, I had to get flat on my back in the bed, but there, so I couldn't move before He could get my attention. But finally, God gets your attention. So the devil says, well, okay, that's all right. We'll just try a different tactic. Now we'll just work, and we'll gradually get around behind you, and we'll whisper in your ear, and those deceiving things that we read on the chart about being divine and so on, and we'll gradually shove you way out ahead of God. And you'll get so far ahead of Him, and then you'll wonder, all of a sudden, well, what's going wrong here? You know, how come me and my wife can't get along? How come this, that, and the other? How come? How come? Well, stop. Just sit down and stop and say, God, I need to get in line with You. Again, God's Word says that He'll withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So if something good is being withheld and it's not doing like you think it ought to be doing, then who's got the problem? You're God? It's obviously you, because God ain't got no problem except with us. All right. We are growing when, number 8, we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship. When you are in love with God, you want to tell Him. One of the songs that we were singing this morning, I tell you, stuff was bubbling up in me, and I could have preached a sermon just like that from that song. I did come up and say one little thing. When we are in love with God, you want to tell Him. When Mildred and I are driving along, we're worshiping and praising the Lord. We've got a little praise tape. We keep going. Thank God I got a reversible tape player in the car. Don't even have to turn the tape over. Just keep going. Hallelujah. And it gets gooder and gooder. Number nine, we are growing when our desire to obey becomes more intense and sin becomes less and less attractive to us. Turn to Romans chapter 6, please. Let me give you four P's to write down. It means that I've got thinking about Romans. Tommy's got a book, had a book back there, three P's. I want to give you four. And that's Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, okay? Romans 5 is promise. Romans 6 is problem. And Romans 7 is provision. And Romans 8 is power. Now, you can study that out and say, Holy Ghost, reveal it to me. Romans 6, 12 is what we're looking at. Let not sin, therefore, rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies to make you yield to their cravings and be subject to their, T-H-E-I-R, meaning more than one, lust and evil passions. What is sin? Somebody will say, oh, it's missing the mark. Obvious. Debbie left your Bible up there, I guess. Gene, that's going to represent, let's get it to be a good one. Let's let it represent the sin of murder, okay? Sin of murder, what do you want me to do? Yeah? It don't say nothing, does it? The Word of God says, let not sin therefore reign or rule. Some translations use the word reign, which means to rule over. Sin and demons are the same thing. The sin of adultery is a spirit of adultery. The sin of thievery is a spirit of thievery. The sin of murder is a spirit of murder. Had to cast that out of a young man in Teen Challenge one time, and when we bound that thing and commanded it to come out of him, he, the person, went flying across the room, just like somebody grabbed him and threw him across the room, up against the wall. But the demon left. The little 15-year-old Filipino girl down in the South Philippines in 1973 that I was privileged to minister to, a spirit of witchcraft, sorcery, and idolatry. It's the first time I ever come across and ministered to a person who was so manipulated and controlled and such power in her at 15 years old, very petite. You saw the two, I think they were Filipino girls, those two. Anyhow, they were small. Mexican? But anyway, this girl was not very big at all. And yet, under the power of this power, she was stronger than any three or four men. When they brought me into her presence, that demon began to, Father, Father. Man, the Holy Ghost rose up and I said, shut up in the name of Jesus. And she crumpled down to the floor, and the love and the compassion of Jesus rose up in me, and I sat down, took her head in my lap, looked into her eyes, and there was no white in her eyes. They were solid black, glaring. Well, I did what the Lord said. I said, you devil, you're defeated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, this girl is covered by the blood of Jesus. You're defeated. Get out. Laid her head down on the floor. Said to the Filipino ministers, I said, go tell the people in Kabadbaran here, you know, just go spread the word that Jesus set this girl free. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, isn't it? Well, that night, I happened to be the one ministering to the congregation. Yes, an open, had a roof over the thing, but there's no walls or nothing, about 300 people. And I had just been asked to come up to the platform, and they're out of whatever. And I walked up there, and here comes this Filipino lieutenant with his sister. This little girl was a sister of this lieutenant in the Philippine Army. They come walking in hand. Walked up there, and everything's got quiet because they knew the condition of this girl. And yet here she's walking in very calm. And he looked up at me, and he said, Brother George, my sister. And she's standing there with her head down. I just reached down and put my fingers under her chin, lifted her head up. And the first thing I wanted to see was how was her eyes. They were normal. Normal. And I said, can you say Jesus is your Lord? Big smile come on her face. She said, Jesus, my Lord. And the place went wild. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let not sin reign or rule in your mortal bodies that you should obey it or them in the lust thereof. Turn to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. While you're getting there, I'll get a swallow of water. Our God's a consuming fire. I just want to put a little bit, kind of dampen it a little bit. I don't want to put it out. Hallelujah. Psalm 35. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and javelin and close the way of those who pursue and persecute me. Say to me, I am your deliverance. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after and require my life. What's the King James say? Who's got the King James? Soul. Okay. Let them be turned back and confounded who plan my hurt. Who plans your hurt? I didn't hear you. Let them be as chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Driving them on. Let their way be through dark and slippery places, with the angel of the Lord pursuing and afflicting them. For without cause they hid for me their net, a pit of destruction without cause they dug for my life. That's talking about demons, people. I mean, there's many places in Psalms that it exposes. It just, the revelation of God comes and you just see it for what it is. Who's devising our hurt? Well, so-and-so said, you know, if I didn't do such-and-such, he was going to kill me. No, so-and-so didn't say it. It was only what was ruling him. But how do you know? Well, the Bible says you are the servant of whom you serve. Isn't that right? And if any of you can show me anywhere in the Bible that where you can stick God over there and say, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with him. And you can stick the devil over here and say, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with him. I just want to do my own thing. I wish you'd show it to me because I haven't seen it. You are the servant of whom you serve. It didn't say, if God be God, serve him. If George be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. It didn't say that, did it? We're given a choice between good and evil. You're not given a choice between good, evil, and yourself. Don't you think it's about time we really wised up and stopped allowing the enemy to manipulate and control in any way whatsoever? Don't you think it's about time we really wised up and began to walk in obedience to God, which means you're going to walk in victory? 42 years of my life, I floundered around and fiddled around and floundered around and went every way but the right way. But 34 years, let's see, 42 and 34 and 33 years ago. I have to figure it out now. I don't want to. But anyway, I'm going on with God. Glory to God. That's the reason I can sing, I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus saved my soul. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I took the word of God, tore the devil apart, and I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. Hallelujah. We are growing wind. Number 9, our desire to obey becomes more intense and sin becomes less and less attractive to us. We are growing wind. Number 10, We are eager to share with others what Christ is doing in our life. I tell you what, I'm eager. Thank God for Brother Glenn, for Lake Camp Hamilton. I just thank God for the opportunity to come share. But I'm so eager, if it wasn't, if Glenn didn't hold a tight rein on this wild horse, I'd say, hey, send all them other ministers home. Let me just have at it. No clocks, no. Get away with all the clocks. Right. Hallelujah. I met an old gentleman years and years ago who was in a revival out in Los Angeles, and they had church all night long. All night long. And he was telling me about this one particular incident. He said, I had a prayer language, but I didn't know anything else. He said, this particular night, there were several people on the back. There were some Chinese, and he named two or three other different nationalities. And he said, all of a sudden, when he's preaching, his language changes, and he begins to speak in their particular language. He didn't know what he was saying, but God knew. And at the end of that service, all of those people, the several there, came to the altar and accepted Jesus. Is anything too hard for God? Oh, glory to God. We are growing when we, number 11, we are experiencing an increasing awareness of His presence. We are experiencing an increasing awareness of His presence. Ooh, if I can just draw a little picture here. Visualize with me, if you will. This yours? No? Okay. This is Diane's, okay? And let's just say that I've got this cup is full of let's say it's full of milk. And that's just plain water. Well, what's going to happen if I pour the milk into this and I keep pouring it in? What's in there is going to change color. And as little by little, as you run it over, you keep pouring it in and you run it over, everything that's in there is going to be flushed out. Isn't that right? Well, then doesn't it make sense if we keep pouring in and pouring in the Word of God, which means we're drawing nigh to God and He's drawing nigh to us. If we keep pouring in and pouring in the Word of God, that everything in us is going to be flushed out. Hallelujah. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I want somebody else to do it for me. No, it ain't going to work that way. You want somebody else at lunchtime to go back there and eat your dinner? Well, just go eat my dinner for me. I don't feel like chewing it. And the next thing you know, you won't be able to chew it. May God give us such a hunger and a desire for His Word, and not just to read it, but to ingest it, to eat it, and obey it. Glory to God. Throw away the clock. Run them back an hour, please. We are growing when, number 12, we jealously guard our private time of prayer and Bible reading. Our devotional life has a priority. As Mildred and I have walked together with the Lord, we've learned some principles of warfare, the importance of the Word of God. We don't ever go to bed at night. We don't put a tape on of some part of the New Testament. It goes. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Is that not right? Well, what is that word salvation? Is it just mean, okay, I'll shake the preacher's hand. Okay, Jesus is Lord, I believe. Is that it? No. You go down to the junkyard, let's say, and you salvage an old boat trailer. It's full of rust. Well, you bought it. It's yours when you pay for it. It's yours. So you take it home, and you don't do a thing with it. You just say, okay, it's mine. I've got it. and you put your nice, pretty new boat on that old rusty trailer, and you get about halfway down the highway, and the thing starts to fall apart. But if you bring it home and you get you a chipping hammer and you begin to chip away at the rust, you start finding some weak spots and you begin to do something about them. And if we don't start chipping away at ourselves through and by the Word of God and obedience to it, is it any wonder that we gradually fall by the wayside? God says, I watch over my Word to perform it. I watch over my Word to perform it. He said, I will hasten to perform my Word. And then in another place, he said, even before you call, I will answer. When that begins to happen, you're getting close to God. And God says, oh, I just want to bless you so much. I look way down in the depth of your being, and I look out ahead of you, and I see something, and I'll do it. If you do not have a desire to read the Bible, or a strong desire to understand the Bible, or a strong desire to follow the Bible, you are not growing in your relationship to Christ. Oh, but Brother George, I just pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I talk to God and I plead with God and I beg God, and God says, hey, if you'd shut up and learn what I say and take me at my word, you'll find out that your needs are already met. Prayer is communication with God. Is that right? Well, if God is who he says he is, and he is, amen, then who should do the most talking? Who should do the most talking? God should. A lot of us have had children, still got children. A lot of us are still children. So John sees his little child, and the child is looking. You know, they're in the store, and the child is looking at that particular candy bar. John sees that. John knows that that child likes that particular candy bar. So John buys that candy bar and sticks it up in his pocket. Pretty soon the child comes, oh, Daddy, Daddy, would you please give me a quarter for that candy bar? It used to cost a nickel, now it costs a quarter. Would you? And sometimes more. I go to thrift stores, please.
They're a dollar there.
But that child just begs and pleads, you know, and begs. And that child don't have to do that. Daddy just reaches up and says, here, it's already done.
And I want to give it to him.
Yeah. How much more? How much more will your heavenly Father bless you? Oh, ye of little faith. I left Mayport, Florida one time. I had a little 63 Buick with recap tires on it, and perhaps most of you have heard me say this before. I had a tank full of gas and $7. Where are you going, Brother George? I'm going to California. What? Yeah, I'm going to California. Well, how much money you got, Brother George? I got $7. And you're going to California? You're crazy. What are you doing, running on water? No, tank's full of gas. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, needless to say, I went to California, and when I got to California, I had worked across the country and followed the leading of the Lord. The Lord led me to Fort Smith, Arkansas, spent 2 months there ministering and counseling and being a blessing to people. When I got to California, I had $400 in my pocket. Is it any way that you can possibly outgive God? I could stand here the rest of the day and share testimonies of how God's met my needs and provided for us down through the years. Hallelujah. You are never stagnant or stagnate. You are either going forward or drifting backwards away from the things of God. Hallelujah. Well, That's one of them. Sorry about that, folks. Can't get to this one. To be continued. Isn't that what I said a while ago? Now, let me see. Who do I want to do this? Somebody that hadn't done anything up here yet. Deb, come here. Linda, come here. I want everybody to have a copy of this. This is called a love checkup. I was tempted to go ahead and teach on this, but I said, no, we'll just make some and hand it out. And this one is a declaration of victory in Jesus. A declaration of victory in Jesus. Now, if you're man and wife here, give one to a couple. Okay? Glory to Jesus, He satisfies me. Glory to Jesus, I'm free, oh, I'm free. Glory to Jesus, I shout it, I will. Glory to Jesus, I just can't keep still. Well, if you want pardon and if you want peace, if you want sighing and sorrow to cease, look to the Savior who died on the tree. Jesus will save you, for He saved me. Glory to Jesus, I shout it, I will. Glory to Jesus, I just can't keep still. Glory to Jesus, and so on, so on, so on, and so on. Hey, glory to God. And I'll share another with you while they're giving them things out. I'm living where the grapes are growing. Living where the rivers are flowing. I'm living, yes, I'm living in Canaan's land. Oh, it's really grand. In my heart there's a joy divine just to know that Jesus is mine. I'm living, yes, I'm living in Canaan's land. Hallelujah. And there will be better days ahead. And I hope, I'm just believing, Brother Glenn, the Lord's going to let me come back for Christmas.
Amen.
And, Hallelujah. And by Christmas, I believe I might have another 30, 40 pounds of good fish fillet I could bring, too. Praise the Lord. And we'll just dig in and do some more. But I tell you, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. And He loved me far more than I could ever, ever love Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody got a copy? Yeah, you can buy War on the Saints. See, the Lord said, be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. Marlene? Be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. So I'm just enticing you a little bit with that. There's some more charts in War on the Saints. And all the explanation you'll ever need to understand every bit of it. What a battle I had when I first saw that book. Took me a year of looking at it and going into bookstores and seeing it, you know. And I'll forget one time in Tampa, I had War on the Saints and two other books in my hand. I'm walking up to get in where the checkout girl is, and I'm standing there, and boy, this thing's rambling around in my head. I can't afford to buy these three books. I had a pocket full of money. I could have bought a dozen books. But I just, especially this one, I don't need this one. And you know, I got talked out of it. I put War on the Saints down. I bought the other two. Finally, I was able to buy that book. And then a year later, I was able to kind of dig into it a little bit. But then it was a lot of years later before I could read it from cover to cover. The devil hates that book. Well, stand to your feet, please. I really thank you for your time and your attention. Thank God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I just sense that pulsating power. Glory to God. We'll be leaving in the morning and going on up to a little town called Melbourne. It's really been a good camp meeting, and we've enjoyed it very, very thoroughly, being here with everyone. And I pray God's blessing upon all of you. I pray that you will be strengthened with the power of His might. I pray that the blessings of Abraham will follow you wherever you go. And now, Lord, we'll just give you praise and glory. We thank you for Tony and the meal that he has prepared for us. Lord, we've had our dessert first. Now we'll just go feed on a little bit of the stuff that keeps the physical body going. And so, Lord, we'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, blind or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, tormented, oppressed, find your lane. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.